Hello and welcome to the Build Family Connection 5 Days to Stronger Family Relationships course. My name is Michelle Cox and I am so excited that you have decided to join me. One of the things that I know about you, just because you have simply opened up this audio file and given me some space in your heart and in your brain, is that you care deeply about your family and you want stronger relationships. So thank you for being here. Thank you for trusting me. I've really tried to hold a space in my heart for your family. And I don't know exactly what difficulties you're experiencing or what patterns you're trying to break, but what I do know is that if you will take the material presented here and return to it often, it will serve you for much longer than 5 days. Every relationship that I know has ups and downs. Every single relationship on the planet has conflict. Did you hear that? Every single relationship on the planet has conflict. And the really strong relationships in our world, do you know what? They actually learn how to handle conflict well. And so many of the principles that I'm teaching you today are going to lay a great foundation for your family and will support you not only in building stronger relationships, but will support you in navigating conflict and navigating difficulty that shows up throughout your lifelong journey together. So where do we start? One of the things I want to invite you to do right at the very beginning is to examine how you view your role as a parent. These kids have come into your life, and what is your job? I remember feeling as a young mom that it was my job to clearly keep these kids safe. And I do agree, that is one of our jobs. But that definition of safe got a little bit convoluted for me over the years, and I believed with all of my heart that my job as a parent was to make my kid behave. I was supposed to have a set of rules and teach my kids that if they broke those rules, there would be a consequence. And that consequence would then in turn teach them to behave. And it would just become this circular motion, right? And success to me, in my mind at that time, looked like first-time listeners, kids who don't argue, they don't ask why unless they're just really curious. They're going to check the boxes of good behavior. And they're going to be excited and motivated about life. And if and when there needed to be a consequence or they were struggling with an area, then I would just teach them how to stop. I would teach them, they would learn, and they would stop. Saying it out loud, I feel a little bit silly. But I want you to ask yourself, really, what is your job as a parent? Is it to make your kiddo behave? I believed it was. I had to let go of that belief. That is not my job as a parent. And it's one of the beliefs that gets in our way of building strong relationships with our kids. Isn't my goal really to raise a child who thinks and sorts and filters through information and makes their own decisions? And I think you would all agree with me. And we say that's what we want. We want kids who think and sort through experiences and information and make decisions for themselves. And our job is to help them become successful in this world. That's what we all say. But at a core level, what we really believe is my job is to make my kid behave, do good in school, go to a good college, and be excited and motivated about life and not screw it up. Now, the problem with that sentiment and where we get really tangled up is we begin to try to control things that aren't ours. On top of that, we begin to place a very heavy load upon the shoulders of our children because our success as a parent becomes directly tied to their behaviors. And what that means is if my kid behaves poorly, I in turn believe I'm a bad parent. If my kid behaves well, then I did a good job as a parent. Here's an illustration of it. I remember having an 18-month-old. It was one of the first times I really felt this fully. I mean, as a young mom, I felt the weight of not being qualified. But one day we were at church and my kiddo saw a friend and he was so excited. It was one of his first little buddies and he toddled up to him and wrapped his arms around him in a great big hug. And before we knew it, he had turned his head and bit his little friend on the shoulder. And it wasn't just a gentle little bite. It was a hard bite. Immediately, his friend broke into tears. I was horrified, scooped my kiddo up, embarrassed, and had no idea what to say. My friend was like, "Your kid bit him. He bit my kid. What the heck?" I'm like, I have no idea. Now, I don't think she was judging me. We were all just shocked in that moment. But I had no clue how to respond when my child behaved poorly, other than to find a way to make him stop. So my efforts over the next stretch of time were trying to make this kid stop biting. And he happened to be a pretty good biter. Is that a necessary part of our parenting journey? Yes, we have to teach. We have to curb harmful behaviors. But let's look a little closer at this example. What could I actually control in this situation? I could teach. I could try and help my young toddler to see and understand that biting hurt. But could I truly make him stop biting? I wanted to. Oh, I wanted to so badly. But was that within my power as a parent? Who ultimately had to learn and even appreciate the value of not biting? My kiddo did, right? Would he? Yes, eventually he would. Did he do it in my time frame, in the way I wanted him to, when I wanted him to do it? Quite frankly, he didn't, because I have no control over those elements. All I could do was continue to teach, show him other options, and plead and pray my guts out that he figured it out before we became the outcasts of the toddler world, right? Now let's stick with this example just a minute longer. When as young parents, we get desperate because our kid keeps biting and they aren't learning at the pace that we want them to, or we feel like they should be learning, what are some of the things that we might have tried in this situation to control the behavior? You know, some common things I've heard and even tried over the years, well, flick them or pop them on the mouth. Maybe give them a swat on their bum. Tell them a really firm no right in their face. We'll squeeze their cheeks or even try biting them back. Now, sometimes these options work, but let's think about what we're really teaching our child in those moments. What else are we teaching them? When I yell at them and tell them not to bite and then bite them back in the same breath, how does our child view and experience us in those moments? Are we safe? Do they want to be close to us? Fortunately, with a little toddler, they desperately want to be close to us. They crave being close to us, and we get to hold them in our tears. But, and this is a really big but, as our children grow and eventually mature into adulthood, if that becomes our mode of operation to get them to behave in a good way, will they continue to see us as safe? Will we be a soft place to land for them when they really mess up? Probably not. Will they still want to be close to us? Absolutely, yes. They'll even crave it still, as teenagers, but there's a difference. Now, they might not believe that that's possible. They might pick up the message that it's only possible to be close to us and have a meaningful relationship with us if they fit in the box that I have decided they need to fit into, and if they behave in a way that I have decided is right. As our children get older, and if we allow this pattern of control to continue, we slow the progression of our relationship. If we hold on to the idea that it's my job to control the behavior of my child, and I do that by having a firm set of rules with very strict consequences, and I am going to hold to those above all else, and I'm going to threat and demand and bribe and yell and argue and dig my heels in because I need this kid to behave. I understand deeply that this is very much rooted in love, and it's how many of us were taught, but it is hurting our relationships because when we get tangled up in this idea of controlling our children's behaviors, what happens is we give up our greatest superpower. Our greatest superpower as a parent is not control, but influence. Influence as a parent is where we begin to have, guess what? A huge influence on the life of our children because they do care deeply about what we think. They do care about the values that we hold, and they want that acceptance from us. Influence is where we get a chance to help shape the choices, beliefs, problem-solving skills, and thought patterns of our children. As our children grow, they will need a safe place to sort and try different ideas and lifestyles and political beliefs and religious beliefs, they're going to need to sort through all of that. The question then becomes, will we be allowed into their space? Will we be permitted to be a part of their experiences of learning and given the chance to influence their choices? And so if we sacrifice influence, what we are giving up is a chance to teach and invite our children into a way of life that we believe will help and serve them. It doesn't mean they're going to follow. It doesn't mean that they're going to adopt every idea and principle that we do. But when we operate of a place of, hey, let me share this with you. Let me walk beside you in your journey. Let me help you become the best version of who you can become. And let me teach you how to listen to your inner voice and trust your inner voice. When we can do that, instead of, let me tell you what boxes you need to check to earn my approval. Let me tell you how you need to behave to be a good kid. Let me tell you all of the behaviors that I won't tolerate as your parent and you'll be in trouble for. Does it feel different to you? It sure feels different to me. When we are able to make the shift and walk beside our children as they gain the experiences they need to grow into incredible, compassionate, capable adults, then we are building relationships that allow us to have influence in our children's lives. Lifelong influence. The fantastic news is that it goes both ways because I will be deeply influenced and learn from them as well. And I remember talking to my oldest when he was, same kid who was biting, when he was a junior in high school. And one day we were going the round on homework battles. And he finally just stopped and he put his hands down on the table and he said, Mom, you have no idea how good you have it with me. You have no clue. You want me to be so perfect at everything that you're missing out on how great I am. I just kind of sat there for a second and I was a little bit taken back and I wanted to retort and just say, look, I'm not talking about other people. We're talking about you. We're talking about your homework now. Get your homework done. And I wanted to respond in a way that made me right, in a way that let me stay in control of the conversation. But when I thought about what he was saying about the argument we were having, he was 100% correct. I was not giving him credit for everything fantastic he was doing in his life. All of the ways that he was showing up and contributing to our family and contributing to the world were being overlooked because his math score wasn't what I thought it should be. Now, I believe math is important, but I don't believe it's the most important thing. I believe the relationship you have with your child is the single greatest asset you have in guiding them through this world. It's not only control that gets in our way. There is also another version of being a good parent that gets us into trouble and blocks our relationships. And that is the belief that we need to connect in a certain way, that we need to engage with our kids in this magical way that we have deemed good. For example, a good parent sits on the floor and plays games with their kids. A good parent reads books for at least 20 minutes a day. A good parent wants to stay up late talking to their teenagers. It doesn't matter what time it is. A good parent doesn't need to go to bed at night and they can just sit on the bed at bedtime and listen to stories. Whatever version of that we're carrying around in our head, the problem is, what if we can't do that? What if sitting on the floor and playing Barbies with my child or staying up late to have a conversation with my teenager, what if I'm not able to do that because of a work schedule or a health issue or because it's just not my jam or because I don't feel up to it? Then if we can't do that, we're deemed as a bad parent in our own mind, and we're never going to be successful. So any efforts to connect are always going to be falling short because they're not meeting the ideal of what we think that should look like. So let's Get real clear, if you can, get real curious about the picture in your head of what connecting and what relationship building should look like with your child. Wrap that picture up, rip it out of your brain, and throw it in the trash. Just get rid of it because it's not serving you and it's not helping you and it's not helping your child. We want to wipe the slate clean and give you permission to explore and try some different things out and see what works for you. There are a few things that relationships do not have to be. They don't have to be a certain way. They are not going to be equal among your children. Different kids are going to require different amounts of attention, and that is family life. That's how it rolls. And so you're never going to be able to give equally to your kids. That's okay. Each kid will get what they need, particularly if you are living with intention and trying to stay aware. They might not get it the very second they need it, but you'll get there. I trust you, and I trust your heart to guide you there. We're just going to let go of the expectations, wipe the slate clean, and begin to open up a door of possibility. Having a healthy relationship does not mean there are no boundaries. It does not mean there is no accountability. It does not mean you become a doormat and you are walked upon and you give, 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 and give. Nope. What I want to teach you is how to create a relationship of reciprocity, a give and take relationship where both people are considered human beings, where both people have feelings and thoughts and ideas that matter. And that's one of the shifts we get to begin making as a parent. Do you view your child as a fellow human being with thoughts, dreams, and ideas that matter to them today just as much as your own personal thoughts, dreams, and ideas? It doesn't matter if it's a six-year-old dream or a 17-year-old dream or a silly 14-year-old dream. Those things matter to your kids just as deeply as your greatest aspiration. And when we can begin to realize that and view them as fellow human beings who are traveling this world with us, we begin to see them in a different way. We begin to see them not as someone who needs to perform, but as someone that we get to know. And so my challenge for you today is, what have I not discovered about my child? What am I missing because I have been trying to control their behavior? I'm not asking you to change a darn thing yet, but I want you to just watch and listen. And if your kid's in a really hard space right now, and I know that some of them might be, then maybe the current day, that's not where your period of observation begins. You might need to go back to younger years, to when they were a child, or even when they were an infant. What was it that caused you to fall in love with this human being who entered your life? What promises did you make to them? As you watched them develop into their personality as a toddler, what did you see? What character traits did you see start to shine through? Do you see them today? Look for them. See if you can find that innocent baby hidden in all of the external facades, in all of the distractions and stories and behaviors that you're being presented with. Look for that child that you love and allow your heart to open and see the human being standing before you. Every single behavior that a child has is an expression of a need. I know it is so easy to feel like they are directly attacking you through their behaviors, or that they are trying to sabotage your best efforts as a parent, but I promise you, they're not. They are asking for your help, they are asking to be seen, and they are asking to feel your love. I am going to show you how to communicate that. You've already got some tools that you can try. Some little exercises that you can try, pick one out, and then become an observer. Everything we're doing today, everything I'm inviting you to consider is about opening the door for possibility, opening the door for a relationship that is give and take, At times you'll be the one giving. At times you will also be the one receiving. Isn't it beautiful to think of receiving from your child? So will you consider a couple things with me today? Number one, be brave. Ask the question, where is my version of being a good parent getting in the way of furthering my relationship with my child? And try to get really observant and really specific. And number two, get to know that kiddo as a human being. Begin to look and watch and learn about them and tap into those character traits you saw developing in them as a young child. This is where we are going to develop our core fundamental relationship principles here in the playground of our family. We're going to practice, we're going to try things on, and we're going to give ourselves permission to get rid of the ideal and step into possibility. Thank you so much for being here. We will be back in just a couple days' time with another audio file. Become an observer and get curious.